Again, good morning, and a welcome to our guests. When I looked at the bulletin this morning, I realized exactly how busy our service was this morning. But that's okay. It's fun, and it's one of those wonderful blessings that we have as a congregation to see children here, to welcome them into the congregation, and to give them God's Word. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at a text from God's Word in which a man asked Jesus a question that for the most part we all wonder about. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And we'll not only look at the answer, or we'll look at the answer that Jesus has, but we will see that the man asked the wrong question. Because it is not by what we can do, but rather by what God has done for us that we can be saved. And because of what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, we all can inherit eternal life because of His sacrifice. And because this is a promise to all of us, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good, but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and saith unto him, unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and the world to come eternal life. But many that are shall our first shall be last, and the last first." Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes right after Jesus has a discussion with the great religious people, the Pharisees, and they came to test him about divorce. Jesus let the people know that divorce was never in his plan. And it was because of man's hardness of heart that it was allowed. And yet it was sin, just like all other sin. And Jesus, of course, died for that sin. But it does not excuse it. But rather, it is the action of God that people are saved. And our text starts out now with this man running. And he was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." As we look at this text, we have to understand again a little bit more about the culture in which it took place. First of all, running was undignified. This is not something someone of station would necessarily do. And yet this man runs up, and then he kneels. Kneeling at this time is putting yourself well below the person you're kneeling in front of. In fact, you're making yourself subservient or a slave. And this man has tremendous respect for Jesus Christ. And he wants to know a question. A question that for the most part we all want to know. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And first of all, he says, "Good teacher." And what's very interesting is Jesus doesn't deal with the eternal life question first. He deals with the salutation, "Good teacher." "No one is good except God," is Jesus' answer to him. Now we in hindsight know that of course Jesus Christ is fully man and fully God. And so we kind of wonder, well, what is he saying? But as we go through the text, and especially as we get to the end, we will find out that Jesus does address this question. But Jesus goes on to bring the law to him. He asks them about the commandments. "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Now the answer that he gives seems very difficult. At least for me, when you think about these things, and especially when you think about them in light of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, as he sharpens the commandments and makes them much more difficult, how can he say he has never murdered? Has he ever been angry with his brother? How can he say he's never committed adultery? Has he never looked on a woman with lust? And of course, he always followed his parents' commands and wishes. And so, I'm sure Jesus was at the point where he also knew who this man was. But the next line really tells us where Jesus was with this man. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Disheartened by this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked upon this man who came with him, by all accounts from what we can tell, very earnestly, wanting to know what he could do. And Jesus looks on him and he loves him. Despite maybe his self-justification by saying, yeah, I followed all those commands. Jesus has love for him. But Jesus also knows that there's something else going on with this man. There's something in this world that he's not willing to give up. The possessions. But you see, at this time and in this culture, it might have even been more difficult than it was today. For possessions and money were considered at that time to be a blessing from God. They were actually a show of why that you for sure were being blessed by God, because you had all this stuff. You had all this money. And Jesus is really turning the whole thing upside down, because he's saying, get rid of it and come and take up your cross and follow me. Now that line is very interesting, because Jesus is not asking him to just follow him around. He's asking him to follow him to his death. We talked about this in the adult class this morning for a little while. But that cross, which we look on, is beautiful and is wonderful. And it is. But also must be understood as something else. That is an instrument of death. That is something in which the Romans put people to death upon. And that was its only purpose at that time, was for criminals to hang upon it until they were dead. Jesus is asking him to get rid of his possessions. But he's asking for much, much more. He's asking for his life. Jesus looks around at his disciples and he says, how difficult it will be for those who trust in wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words, and Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. And what's interesting about this is this has been used for a long time to beat up people who had wealth. I don't really think that this is what this is all about. Yes, wealth has something to do with it. And if we trust in that wealth as our sign of being blessed by God or our sign of being good, then it is a problem. But it is when we trust in something that is not Jesus Christ and not him crucified and raised again, it doesn't matter what it is. And in fact, most of the time, it's ourselves. We think that maybe we are good enough. Or we've done something that now deserves God's blessing and forgiveness in our eternal life. And Jesus is just bringing up a subject that they would all understand. Because if people had money, within Jewish society of the day, they were considered to be blessed by God. This was the sign that they had something. And Jesus brings up something that's impossible. He talks about a camel going through the eye of a needle. Now, this is actually kind of silly. But it's actually very, very serious. Because it makes the disciples bring up the question, then who can be saved? And this is where we come to find out that our focus of our question is usually wrong. Because our focus on our question that we always ask is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What hoops do I have to jump through? What things must I do? But Jesus looks at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. You see, we in and of ourselves cannot be good enough. We can't read the Bible enough. We can't jump through the proper hoops. We can't be good enough. It's just as impossible for us to go through the eye of the needle as the camel. And what I'm saying is, it's impossible for us to go to heaven on our own merits. But with God, nothing is impossible. You see, God sent His Son to make it possible for each and every one of us. He sent His Son to go to that instrument of torture, to be nailed to it and to shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to justify us and to sanctify us. And then He raised Him up to give us new life. And so it's not only possible, it's an absolute surety, if we have faith in what God has done, that we will be in heaven. When we believe these things, it is possible. And then we get Peter, who always wants to be rewarded for what he's done. I think this is one of the funniest things. We've all just heard Jesus talk about what is possible and what is not. And Peter gets on there and begins to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or child or land for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now and at this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. This is one of those things that I think I have a little understanding of personally. I left my home. I came here. And it is a very difficult thing to do at times. But I have received 100-fold. I have friends, I have family, I have houses that I'm welcomed here that are unbelievable. Because you are the kingdom of God, have opened your doors and your hearts to me and now to my family. Not only do I have father and mother, but my child has many, many grandfathers and grandmothers. And that's here on this side. What a blessing that can be to us as we are received into the family of God. Are there troubles? Are there persecutions? Yeah, at times. But none of them stand up to the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ and being a part of His body. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Don't know how all that's going to work out. But in the end, the first are there and the last are there. We are all there. And that's a great promise that we have through Jesus Christ. Amen.